You have two picks?
I have three. I mean, I probably have enough. Because these are I like the nylon better, though, for some of the things. It's like just a little... Okay, now...
Are you ready?
Yeah, I guess so. Presentation of this takes place, the whole presentation, it's on a rock in the middle of a very stormy sea. And that's where he is, and he's thinking about his life and all the things that have gone on before him and everything else. I'm just going to end up playing, no matter how noisy it gets, I'm just going to end up playing some of these songs anyway. And it tells a definite story about different aspects of it and everything else. And so it's just basically, don't put more into it than it is, but it was, like I said, it was his original misunderstanding of schizophrenia that led to quadrophenia. So that's how it starts out. It starts out with, I am the sea, goes to the real me, I cut my hair, and the punk meets the godfather. I'm going to take a break after about the third song, just to orientate everybody into, or maybe between songs I'll do a little of the, the narrative, just to keep everybody, let everybody know whereabouts it is. But it starts out, and he's in the sea, and he's hearing all sorts of violins in the background. And the violins just keep on coming on and on, over and over. They keep on coming. Violins keep going. The violins keep going on and on. Is it me for a moment? Is it me? Jobs that he's worked at. Such as love in the ocean, and we are all just drops of love that go into the ocean, and sometimes though the drops evaporate and people die, but then they go back into the ocean. Between the pavements. stones, like rivers that flow in vain. Strange people who know me, peeping from behind every window pane. The girl I used to love lives in this yellow house. Yesterday she passed me by, she doesn't want to know me now. How you feel, son, but you're worshiping the cross too late. Oh, can you see the real me? Can you, oh preacher? Can you see? And so then he's totally trying to find where his mind's at. He's gone to all these different sources, and he's coming around, and he's explored all his, tried to find his own cures, and then he realizes that there's really only one way, and that's to really follow his own path. And so he sets out about trying to do it. And of course he's living at home, about 47. Kind of resembles somebody. And this is definitely some kind of self-identification concept. No pretense about it. Why should I care if I have to cut my hair? I've got to move with a fashion or be outcast. I know I should fight, but my old man, he's really all right. Got parents that seem so cool, and though I don't want to hurt them, mine want me their way. I clean my room and my shoes, but my mother found a box of blues, and there doesn't seem much hope they'll let me stay. Why check it with sideburns, my dad just left the word, he wasn't talking. It's all a game, and inside I'm just the same. My Friday makes me puke first thing in the morning. All right, now he's tried all that, and he's really getting bummed out living at home and everything else. He's looking all around him and everything else, and finally, he said he decides that he's gonna try to get involved really in the big drug scene and everything else. So he goes around to town and he's always trying to buy. Well, in that case, it was blues, but he's trying to buy the drugs and everything else. Purple Hearts. I mean, at one point this guy's on a train. And it shows him, which is really funny in the movie, taking an incredible number of Purple Hearts that no one could possibly consume during a night.
But not mescaline.
No, not mescaline. But the thing, it had the same effect. Well,
speed and mescaline?
Well, it could. You know, if the mescaline was really homemade, it had a lot of crap in it. It was not good anyway. So this one here is the Punk and the Godfather, and it's 3, and it starts there, and I'll see if I can get it right, but I'm going to at least one of these anyway, so we'll see what happens.
Be your best.
Lies, no surprise, I told lies. I'm the punk in the gutter. I'm the new president, and I do, and I bet. Don't you know, don't you? I'm the punk with the thunder. Mama, generation. Only leaders breathe the air we have grown new. I'm a guy in the sky, flying high, flashing eyes, no surprise, like the lies. I'm a punk in the gutter. Oh yeah! I'm the new president, and I do, and I think, don't you know, don't it show? I'm a punk with a can't pretend that I can teach, and yet I'll live your future out by pounding stages like a clown, and on the dance floor broken glass and bloody faces slowly pass, and empty seats and empty rows, it all belongs to me, you know. So now he's going around town, he's looking, and he's even looking for all these drugs. And he gets to this gym, and he says, Uncle Vince, come on, man, how many blues? You got some blues? Got some blues? He says, oh, yeah, man, we got 100 blues. Give you 100 blues. 30 quid. The guy's going, you bleeding cop or what? The guy goes, no, easy money. Presses in the bag of pills real quick, they get out of there. He gets down the street about 100 yards, and he looks for me. He goes to take one, and it's just paraffin, just blue pills, nothing really, that's really that, really.
Really? That really got ripped off.
Got ripped off. So what he does is, he goes over and blows up every single scooter in the whole place by the gym and takes off real quick. But he calls up his girlfriend, and his girlfriend's going, oh, you're druggy. I don't want nothing to do with you. You can't even get a hot on for 1 or 2 hours. Jesus Christ, I want nothing to do with you. And he goes, well, fuck you, bird. I want nothing to do with you, too. So now his girlfriend's left him and everything else. And the only thing, though, that he's got, as it turns out, which is kind of, I would say, one of the combinations and another one of the mistakes Townsend made about quadrophenia, schizophrenia, was that it all came together, though, in one song called I'm One.
Play a really loud note. Play something really loud. Just hit a...
Every year is the same, and I feel it again. I'm a loser, no chance to win. Leaves start falling, calm down is calling, loneliness starts sinking. But I'm one, I am one, and I can see that this is me, and I will be. You won't see, I'm the one. Oh yeah. Where do you get those blue jeans? Baby, have secrets so tight. Where do you get that walk oh so easy? Shoes and shirts all just right. But I'm one, I am one, and I can see that this is me, and I will be. You all see I'm the one. Without a case, but I can't get that evil pale look on my face. Ill-fitting clothes, and I blend in the crowd. Fingers so clumsy, voice too loud. But I'm one. I am one. And I can see that this is me, and I will be. You all see I'm the one, I'm the one. He's really like just going around, and he's totally lost, and he's really got nothing else. And then he goes around and he decides to take different jobs at different times. And he gets kind of a lot of dirty jobs is what he ends up getting. But still, this guy, don't forget now, we're talking about just a 47-year-old guy here. But we're talking about 35-year-old guy living in another state, contemplating to go to another side of the country. Okay? And so, like I said, though, this is a mistaken impression of Townsend's work, because Townsend himself made a mistake.
The Grandmaster made a mistake?
That's what he said.
He was younger, though. He's so much older than that, though. So much older than that.
I am a man who looks after the pigs. Usually I get along okay. I am a man who reveals all he thinks. Should be more careful what I say. I'm getting put down. I'm getting pushed round. I'm being beaten every day. My life's fading. Things are changing. I'm not considering weave again. I am the man who drives a local bus. I take miners to work, but the pits all closed today. Hi-ya! It's easy to see that you are one of us. Ain't it funny how we all seem to look the same? I'm getting put down. I'm getting pushed round. I'm being beaten every day. My life's fading. Things are changing.
Duty of Servants, a Book of Worship. The author is Rolanda Perez, who I told you I all spoke to. This book here is basically a series of vignettes and interpretations of myths and legends and fairy tales based on Bruno Schulze's artwork. Bruno Schulze was born in 1892, and professionally, he was a school teacher.
But he also wrote two books. One of them was Sanatorium Under the Sign of the Hourglass, and the other was called The Street of Crocodiles. In addition, he did artwork, which is a very sketch-like artwork. Unfortunately, the estate of Bruno Schultz didn't allow or Rolando to put any of the sketches in his book. But I have some on my computer at home now. And one of the books that he was commissioned to do sketches for was of Leopold von Sacher Masoch, The Venus in Furs. And
an excellent song by the Velvet Underground.
Yeah.
Severin.
Yeah. Well, Severin figures prominently here.
Yeah. Go ahead.
He also translated Kafka. And when the Nazis took over Poland in 1939, there was a Gestapo officer who became his protector. And he protected Bruno in exchange for art. Gave him, looked out for him, gave him a bowl of soup and a piece of bread every day. And considering that food was, especially for Jews, was not forthcoming, Bruno lived fairly well. But the problem was, there was another Nazi officer who liked Bruno's sketches just as much and was jealous of the arrangement, so he wound up killing Bruno. And shot him to death in 1842. And his work went widely unknown in English-speaking countries until about 1970, and when Sanatorium Under the Sign of the Hourglass was translated. And I'm going to give you a little taste of Orlando Perez's own work. His retelling of the myth of Circe, as Bruno might have told them. This is the myth of Circe according to Bruno. The story of Circe appears both in the Odyssey of Homer and in Ovid's Metamorphoses. The two versions, though different in style and detail, are similar in plot. However, according to Bruno, the story is told through the ages as both incorrect and unfair to Circe. So in an effort to correct what he calls a gross literary and historical mistake, last July Bruno presented his own eyewitness version of this historic event at the annual meeting of the Canine Academy. The distinguished servant, Mr. Gregor Severin, introduced Bruno the dog to the Academy and the world. Bruno the dog is Bruno's submissive alter ego as imagined by Perez. Report to the Academy, July 12th. We were exhausted the day we saw the island on the horizon, encircled by the infinite sea like a reef. And from this island, standing on our ship, we each saw smoke rising up to the heavens. We landed and moored our ship, ready to meet the inhabitants who welcomed us with their friendly smoke. So anxious were we for good food, good company, and fine accommodations, that without much preparations we disembarked our ship and set out to meet these citizens of this beautiful island. The first place we came to was a city, where wolves, tigers, and even crocodiles lived in harmony and greeted us peacefully. The beasts followed us wherever we walked, and they were affectionate, so human they appeared. Then we saw the nymphs, and they walked, naked and beautiful, small, delicate breasts and dainty feet. And they, with their friendly beauty, led us to a great gate from which which came the most celestial voice any of us ever heard. So beautiful was this voice, its sweetness like candy, the voice of a siren, and to the source of this heavenly music, the nymphs led us, already hypnotized by their beauty, us who had not seen a woman in so many months at sea. There, at the end of a long hallway on a throne of gold and precious stones, sat the mistress, the goddess of this island, the goddess who spoke thus to us. I am Circe, goddess of this island. She was Circe, goddess of this world, in our eyes, and she sat upon her throne, naked like the nymphs, but ever so, more so beautiful in her distant, cold, and earthly perfection. Then out of her greatness she gave us to drink of her wine, and gave us to eat of her lamb and her fruits, and her nymphs touched our bodies and made the aches disappear. I remember thinking then that on this day I would willingly die, and die happily at that, having felt such joy that could never be repeated. For the daily life of men is only toil, dull, joyless, and finally meaningless. When the feast was over, Circe bade us to approach her, and like humble servants we obeyed, standing at attention, waiting for her orders. One of the nymphs then came forward and gave her a mistress, our mistress, a deer horn, from which Circe slowly poured a honey-like substance down her legs, until her feet, the most beautiful feet in the world, were covered in this honey. And she said, "In my memory and my honor, I command of thee that you drink this honey from my feet." Her voice was icy cold, and when she said this, when she thus spoke to us, in less than a beat we all got on the ground. No one accepted, not even Eurylochus, as it is often falsely told, Eurylochus being as eager to please as the rest of us. Down on the floor we went to taste of Circe's honeyed feet with pleasure and ecstasy, licking her perfect soles, her toes, tasting Circe's feet. We all became like pigs under Circe's spell of whip. Paralyzed forever, doomed to remain her slaves, the pigs in her circus, we did not want the upright stand of man again, vacant of the worship of Circe's feet. This is the true story of Circe, as told by one of her swine, happy in his servitude, who lived in the age of the great Homer, and lives in this one, forever with Circe, poor Circe, forever her slave.
Right on, man.
Some guys like Betsy, Bunny Pillow, Puffy, and me don't even got feet. Uh-oh.
Feet.
Ha ha, I told a funny. Me and Lordy Bunny, who is... Me and Lordy Bunny, who is Sheila Bunny's older smart sister, who Sheila calls brains, but I don't, makes the newspaper, and then we go to the Bags End Post Office and General Store to see Postmistress Elaine L. about making copies. Yeah, uh-oh. Uh-oh, the S&M subtext to Bags End.
No further alerts. Okay, so we're still
making copies and mailing them. I don't go into the post office because it's because it is full of possible foodstuffs. Oh, yuck. Lori adjusts her little spectacles and smiles, payment not plan at me, and hops in with the new Bags End news in a folder to see Mrs. L, who is a pink mommy girl who looks like an elephant but is smaller. Sometimes my city bumping brother Alexander Puppy comes with us with his silly smiling, right, smiling it's all good even the bad parts face, and his strange one word bump language. He waits with me like I asked, and talks bump to me like I am listening. If I am lucky, that green eyed nice guy Ali Leopard is there to tell me what silly things Alex is saying to me. If I'm lucky, ha, another funny. So Lori goes in, and Mrs. L takes the newspaper and mails it to Princess Krisika and Imagiana, who smiles her tricky princess smile to make many copies and mail them. All with a smile, I don't know, some can even better. Well, the last time this all happened, Lori came out with a letter for me, and it wasn't the usual complaint or threat from some disgruntled Bags End big guy. Bump, said Alex, helping the way sneezes usually help. Ali Leopard wasn't around, and Lori explained she knows only a few words of bump. A few words of a one-word language? Lori, doth thee seek to annihilate mine very sanity? I demanded. Then I really wished for Ali to tell me what I had just said. Alex said bump again and looked serious for him, which for most is goofball summer night. Lori took out her little notebook and adjusted her spectacles and writted some things down. She and Alex talked pumps some more, and it nearly drove me crazy when Alex said bumps real slow and bumped her real slowly like that helped. Lori nodded. Alex says, chill out, you'll live longer. Oh boy, yes sir. So we all tramped with my letter to Milne's porch, which is located through me and Alex's bedroom window, which is in the Bunny family's apartment. I am adopted by the Bunny family, and Alex is my brother, because Miss Chris, my person mommy, told me to. We sat in my comfy chair on the porch, Lori in the middle so Alex couldn't helpfully bump me and I couldn't helpfully lose my mind. Lori adjusted her little smart guy spectacles and began to read in her voice like, that makes everything sound like you should listen really good. And this is the letter to Algernon. Greetings, my friend Algernon. It's time, yes, much more than time for me to write to you. I am deep in some world's woods, and your constellation appeared to me tonight in the sky, or in my mind, I can't say yet. But I knew it was you again. Oh, yes, it was you. Third time, and so I'm writing to you from deep inside some world's woods. Hold on, Lori, cried me. What is he talking about? Lori smiled at me like I was one of her smart guy cronies. The letter isn't done yet, Algernon. Do you want to hear some more? Alex reached over and patted my nosebone very nicely with no bumps of any kind. I nodded at Lori. I had a very funny feeling about this letter and the person who wrote it, but I didn't tell Lori or Alex. Lori read more. I think I shall be coming to visit you soon, for sure this time. You're becoming quite the artiste. Hey, who is he talking about? I jumped up and yelled. Miss Chris is an artiste. I just write my paper and hope for the best. Lori was smiling even more at me. This is a fan letter, Algernon. Enjoy it. Then she gave me a little kiss on my furry cheekbone and started reading again. The letter continues. You know how big the worlds and other places are, of course, but perhaps there's more to it all than merely this. What do you think? We will talk, oh surely we will talk about this and more when I visit. Stay well, my friend. Wishing you love and beauty, Edgar B. Bear. Then Lori stopped, but not because I interrupted, so I figured she was done. Bump! Said Alex, all brightly, before I could think another thing. Bump! Said Lori, and that called down a whole flock of bumps that I had to flick off my face with a flap of my paw bone. Lori, this porch is not very friendly to bump in other fake languages, I said. Lori giggled. Sorry, Alex was saying he thinks Edgar B. Bear is really smart and will probably want to know all about Bump if he doesn't already. He hopes Edgar will change your mind about Bump. I looked hard and deeply into the silliness of Alex's face. He ratted his letter in English, you dumb brother. Alex smiled and bumped and went in cheery three steps. Lori stayed with me for a while. Lori, that Edgar B. Bear thinks I'm some kind of smart guy. You are smart, Algernon. I shook my head. Not like you and Shlila and Miss Chris and Princess Chrissy. I am smart like weeds who know how to get by. I know when to write and when to run. Lori gave me a grand hug and said, oh, Algernon, there's more to you than that. Just wait and see. Then she smiled at me and hopped through my bedroom window back into Bag's End. I stayed put for a long time. I don't know how to have a fan yet. I guess I'm going to learn, though.